This is DGMT's Learning Lunch, and I'm your host, Rahima Asop. On today's Nourish and Flourish conversation, we are talking about zero rating. Zero rating is the process of providing access to the internet at no charge to the user. One of its key objectives is to increase access to digital information and resources for users who can't afford the cost of data. Our guests are Mignon Hardy, Managing Director at Life Choices and former Executive Director of Funza Literacy Trust. At the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, Mignon worked with DGMT to support public benefit organizations that had been zero rated to make the most of their zero rating advantage. The support included making sites more user-friendly, marketing them well, and making them easier to find on the internet. Our second guest is David Harrison, CEO of the DG Murray Trust. The trust has long been lobbying for zero rating. Thank you both for joining me. David, what do we know about how the majority of South Africans are accessing the internet?
Well, the general household survey that's conducted by Stats SA every year tracks the percentage of households that have got Wi-Fi, that have got internet at home. And we know that it's very, very low. So only 10% of households, 1 in 10, report that they have Wi-Fi at home. Most people have to access the internet in hotspots or at work, any place outside of the home. And that's what makes the cell phone so important, because that's how people are accessing the internet. Not on a laptop generally, primarily on the cell phone that they're carrying to the shopping mall to try and find a hotspot.
So why don't we just reduce the cost of data?
If we could reduce the cost of data right across the board, that would be the first prize. And some countries have managed to do that. So India, for example, has very, very low data costs. And it has a very competitive network operator industry. In South Africa, we don't have that. We have a few big players, and they're able to extract a lot of profit out of the services that that are provided. And so the net result is that we pay a lot more for data than many other African countries, for example. So what we decided, and we looked at this over 10 years ago, to try and find a solution that would be more targeted, that would focus on the most marginalized communities across the country. And this is where we realized that if we could have the zero rating of digital content that was focused on those communities, that was focused on nutrition and early learning and education and job mediation, if we could find a way of reducing those costs, that would be a big win in a very short period of time. And that was the thinking and the logic behind a zero rating of public benefit organizations' digital content.
Just speaking about that, and it's about this variable cost of data. I think at the moment, if you're on a contract, so you own a home, you can get your credit checks done, you get your mobile phone contract, the cost of your data is much lower than if you're buying it on a prepaid device. Often, in fact, you're getting special deals for it anyway. It's almost negligible. Yet if you don't have that, if you don't have that security in order to buy data on a contract, but you're doing it through the prepaid system, you actually are paying a premium for your data. And I think that is also one of the big problems in our country, is that the poorest people are paying the premium for the service that they need the most.
Zero rating enables users to access digital content for early learning, education, health, and work preparation, among other services. Some would say it is the most significant move towards bridging South Africa's digital divide since the introduction of mobile technology. Mignon, do you agree?
I definitely think it is. It makes such a huge difference. If you are someone who is struggling to make ends meet and you're having to make a choice between buying data or buying food for the table, your thought is going to go definitely to food for the table. At the same time, that access to information that you could have could be the difference between a meal for today or a meal for the next 10 years. If it could help you to find a job or to help your children to get educated.
David, to better understand this argument, it would be useful to explain in a bit more detail how zero rating can be used as a means to promote socioeconomic development.
Well, let's start in an informal settlement with a mom who's looking to educate her child. She's heard that she's the first teacher of her child. She wants to tell her child's story. She wants to read to her, but she has no books in the home. We know that most homes do not have books. We know that most of our early childhood development centers do not have sufficient books. 43% of those centers do not have age-appropriate books. So she wants information, but she doesn't have access to it. But what she does have, what almost every South African has, is a cell phone in their hand. And imagine if she can just pick up that cell phone and connect to Nalibali or to Funza and find a story that's appropriate for her child and start to read to her child. That's one example. We've got early childhood development practitioners. We've got flourish facilitators who are working in antenatal classes for nutrition around the country. They are distributed. They don't come together for formal training. We've got to find some way to provide in-service training to them right around the country to make them feel that they're part of a club, even if they happen to be in Limpopo or in the Eastern Cape. That's the power of the cell phone. We can train them. We can provide support to them. We can even monitor the work that they're doing through the cell phone. The problem is that the costs are too high.
Knowing what we know about how people are accessing the internet, Minyon, until 2020, there wasn't much urgency around zero rating, despite data costs being too high. Why was that the case?
I don't think it was really in the mobile operators' interests for there to be any urgency around it. And I think unless you were really, like we were at Funza, trying to deliver a service and realizing what a barrier data was, it wasn't necessarily part of your daily life. I think up until then, there had been quite a strong focus also just on the high cost of data generally, as opposed to the high cost of data specifically for social services or for delivering important social services.
Tell me about your experience at Funza.
We started Funza in 2011, and the idea was simple. How do we get local, exciting content into people's hands as quickly and as cheaply as possible? And the answer to that was to do it digitally, so to use mobile technology in order to reach people. Data just stood out always as a consistent barrier to usage. If that wasn't the case, then people would read longer and they'd read more frequently. As soon as data became a barrier, the reading would stop. And so we were trying really hard to see how could we get our own site zero rated in order to make this library on a phone accessible to millions of young people in the country, but also what were other partnerships that were possible.
David, DGMT and other organizations have been leading this conversation for over 10 years now. Were people just not listening?
Yes, when we started about 10 years ago and we first identified the zero rating of public benefit organizations, as you say, a major bridge to cross the digital divide, we started to talk to the Ministry of Communications, to ICASA, to the Universal Service and Access Agency, to the network operators, to various industry bodies. And some were interested, but we never ever got enough traction. So behind the scenes, we did a lot of preparatory work. We make sure that this idea, the solution, was compatible with the information and communications policy of South Africa when that was put in place. We made sure that it was embedded in the national youth policy. We did a lot of preparation. We presented to the Competition Commission at the Data Services Inquiry. This is a solution. And the amazing thing is that it was included as a recommendation in the final report. Unfortunately, in the horse trading that happened between the network operators and the Competition Commission about the recommendations that had to be put in place, zero rating of PBOs was left out. So by the end of 2019, we'd reached a dead end. We didn't know where to go next. We didn't know who to talk to. And then came COVID and the penny dropped. All of a sudden, people realized, wait a minute, the power of digital communication when you're locked away, when you don't have access to all of these services, when you can't just go to school. And suddenly people realized that for 50% of our population who are living in informal settlements, who don't have money for transport, who are excluded, this solution, provision of digital content, could be a way of leapfrogging much of the challenge that we have in South Africa, certainly in terms of information. And it was as a result of that and the zero rating that was introduced as part of the state of disaster that the precedent was set for a much longer solution that finally was embedded as a condition of license in the network operators.
Before we go into the condition of license for network operators, let's stick with what happened during the pandemic. Mignon, during the height of the pandemic, you worked with roughly 39 public benefit organizations that were zero rated under the national state of disaster. Zero rating is an advantage, but one that can only be fully realized if people are using the services provided. So a lot of work went into driving demand for the services that were zero rated, such as better marketing and making the services more user-friendly and easy to find. What did these organizations learn in the process?
All of the sites saw some increase in terms of traffic. It should be noted that not all the sites were necessarily wanting more traffic on their site. So some of them, they might have been reaching a very specific audience. So for instance, Sekunyo, which is providing support to practitioners around the country to support parents in the home for the first 1,000 days of the child's life. They were wanting to reach very specific people. They weren't trying to increase the usage on their site, but they wanted to make the content that they had a lot more user-friendly. So in fact, they translated content into other languages and made sure that the site was working in a way that would allow people to access that content better. But then you had other sites, for instance, WordWorks's home literacy site. And these were all very user-friendly little games, little ideas of things that you could do in the home, particularly under lockdown. That was incredibly successful. I think their traffic went up about, it was more than tenfold, if I remember correctly, within that first month. So suddenly they were reaching a vast number of new people just because they had been zero rated, the site was accessible, the content was accessible, and it was the right content for the times and for the market.
David, the next big development in the zero rating story is that after the national state of disaster was lifted, new regulations came into effect. One of the conditions of new spectrum licenses is that all mobile content provided by registered public benefit organizations must be zero rated. Now, you've been hinting at this development throughout our conversation because it is a big win for the zero rating lobby. What does it mean?
It's an incredibly elegant policy solution. Here we have a condition of license that was part of the bidding process for new spectrum of the network operators. So they knew when they were bidding a price that they would have to price in the zero rating of public benefit organizations and .gov websites. They built it into their price. They discounted what they were willing to pay as a result of it being built into their price. And so that's such a neat solution because it's not a case of government now constantly having to monitor or tell them what their obligation should be. It's an expectation of license. Simply, the license to operate requires them to zero rate public benefit organizations. And so when we saw the really amazing effect of zero rating through the disaster regulations, we went to ICASA and we said, look, here's an opportunity. You've got a spectrum auction happening probably March, April 2022. This was in 2021. Make this as a condition of license. And they saw the beauty of it. They saw the elegance and the simplicity of it and fortunately decided to include it.
That's amazing. Does that mean that public benefit organizations are zero rated as we speak?
So every network operator that was a successful bidder, which includes MTN, Cell C, Vodacom, Telkom, they all have a condition of license the zero rating of public benefit organizations and .gov websites. It's there, it's in paper, it's in the regulations. What is needed is a mechanism to be able to register PBOs, monitor the content, make sure that nobody is misusing the process, and be able to report that back to ICASA and to the network operators. That's a simple, easy thing to do. And DGMT has put up its hand and said, we'll pay for it. We'll actually develop that registry wherever you want it to be based, in ICASA, in any other regulatory body. It's a simple, easy thing that should take no more than 6 weeks to put in place. But we've been waiting for a year.
I'm curious. Tell me more about this mechanism. How will it work?
A PBO is a category, it's a designation that you are given when you apply to the South African Revenue Services. So there can be no debate about who's a PBO, who's not a PBO. It's already there. You've been vetted by government. They've decided that you're legitimate. We now don't need to go through a vetting process for organizations. We can simply say to all public benefit organizations, register, provide the technical specifications, start thinking, as Mignon said, about how you can optimize your digital content for zero rating. All of that is possible. It's as simple as that. We then need to have some process, just some check, to ensure that we don't have one or two rogue PBOs, God forbid, who find some way to misuse the site. So there does need to be that sort of oversight and monitoring. And then thirdly, obviously on the network operator side, they need to be assured that there's the security, the systems in place, that nobody will try and distort the system, that no one will abuse the system. And there is a technical considerations that are on their side. We don't have to worry too much about that, provided that those network operators can put that in place. They do already for banking services. What we're more interested in is ensuring that there is a registry of PBOs that we can provide assurance both to ICASA and to the network operators that, in fact, the services that are provided are consistent with the Income Tax Act Schedule 9, which outlines public benefit activities.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, DGMT will foot the bill for this registry. What is ICASA's role then in monitoring compliance once this registry is established?
Not forever. We're happy to do it for a few years. There are already funding flows and funding obligations on those network operators for universal service. And those must ultimately be used. There's a fund, there's money sitting there that exactly should be used to try and offset some of these costs. So hopefully in time, the dots will be connected. But we know that those sort of things take time. It requires the number of different agencies and departments of government to work together. So in the meantime, we're happy to make it happen. It can be under the auspices of ICASA. DGMT does that with a number of its engagements with government departments, with other regulatory bodies. There's no reason why it can't be done now. But we don't have time to waste. Children at the moment are not having access to information. We know from the latest surveys that children have suffered hugely as a consequence of COVID, set them back a year or two in terms of the education. So let's put aside the institutional processes that we must get right, and let's get the mechanism going now.
Thanks, David. Mignon, back to you. You spoke about your work with the 39 public benefit organizations that were zero rated when the disaster regulations were in place. What was the benefit for communities when these organizations had to rethink their content, how that content was being received, the type of languages they were using? What was the benefit to communities?
Well, I think it was definitely better services for communities. In fact, there were three things which I was trying to get the PBOs to really think about when they were planning their sites. And the one was to think mobile first. So you always, instead of when you're planning a site, often people start with what the website's going to look like on a laptop. That's not how people actually look at it at all. So you need to think about what is it going to look like on a phone, particularly on a phone which maybe isn't the latest device, but one which is a little old, maybe a bit scratched on the surface. So how do you make sure that it is really fairly easy to use. The next part is to put your resources up front, because you want to make sure that people can find them as quickly as possible. So whatever is important, you try and get right to the front of the site. And then the third thing was also to keep it data light. And I think this speaks again to this part of the registry that David's been speaking about, is that there do need to be technical specifications about, what is it expected of MNOs to zero rate. You want to make sure that the PBOs or whoever is building the site is actually thinking about data, about the cost of data, but also knowing that connectivity is not equal across the country either. So if you've got a very heavy site which has got loads of images or strange fonts that are coming from some other server somewhere else, it's going to take a long time for that to load. And if you want it to be easily accessible to people, then you need to make it really, really simple, light, keep the resources up front. So I definitely think that those PBOs who were taking this on, I mean, their sites improved, which meant improved user experience on behalf of the communities that they were reaching. And the more that we do this and we refine it over time, I think we will get really excellent resources into people's hands. And that's really what we want to see.
I want to conclude this conversation by thinking about civil society organizations and why they should really get behind the zero rating advocacy work and the lobby. David, let's start with you.
There's so many problems in South Africa that appear so intractable, but every now and again, there's a shaft of light, an easy, simple solution that can make a big difference in a relatively short period of time. We're struggling with so many of the legacies, so many of the walls of apartheid. Digital content, data provides a way to get over one of those walls. And we've got to use it to the fullest and use it to the fullest now. So we want and we need civil society and industry and individuals to get behind us. We need public benefit organizations to sign up and say this is of value to them as well. We need other counterparts in civil society to come together in solidarity. We need individuals to be able to pick up the phone or email ICASA or the network operators and say, are you zero rating public benefit organizations? Because if you do that, this country will benefit.
I completely agree. And I just want to add as well, working with these 39 PBOs and particularly the 18 or 19 who were making significant investments in their sites, I got to see firsthand the kind of content and the kind of resources that are available when people put their minds together to come up with these creative solutions and the difference that it can actually make.
Thank you both for joining me to have this conversation today. I think it's incredibly important. Many PBOs provide digital support in several areas, from early childhood development to accelerated learning, and need digital content related to all of these components to be zero rated. So we need a single registry. Now over to you, those listening to this podcast. Using what you have heard today, you can try this reflective exercise. You'll need a pen and paper to write down these steps or download the takeaway sheet from our website, learninglunch.dgmt.co.za. Write down the following questions and spend some time reflecting on them by yourself, and do share your reflections with your colleagues. Question number one. Start by placing yourself in the shoes of your beneficiaries and think about how broadening access to technology and connectivity can improve their lives and livelihoods. Question number two, how is your organization thinking about ways to overcome the digital divide? And question number three, reflecting on what you heard today, how can organizations creatively lobby for zero rating? Taking into consideration that such activities could be used for lobbying around other issues. This was DGMT's Learning Lunch. Until next time.